Good morning. There are a few announcements today. First of all, there are a number of committee meetings this week, most of which are listed on the front page of the bulletin. Secondly, the beautiful flowers today are in honor of Chuck Bolt. And then I'm happy to be able to invite you to two parties. On Tuesday at Stratford is the grand reopening between 3 and 6 p.m. There will be food, and Presbyterians like food. So please go by and greet all of our church family that's at Stratford and see the work that they've done. And next Sunday, September the 2nd, there will be a reception following the worship service for Dr. McDonald and his family. So please join us for that. Join me for the responsive call to worship. How lovely is your dwelling place, O Lord of hosts.
Happy those who live in your righteousness, ever seen in your grace.
For a day in your courts is better than a thousand elsewhere.
O Lord of hosts, happy is everyone who trusts in you.
Let us worship God. Our hymn of praise is number 260.
Thank you.
Constantly we miss the mark of holiness. Let's pray together the prayer of confession, and then in the silence that follows, pray what we only know ourselves. O God, redeem us, for we stand in need of forgiveness. We squander your mercy when we abuse your creation. We slander our neighbors and seek not your peace. Nations rise up against nations, and threats of terrorism fill the air. Those without work find no hope of relief. The homeless wander without protection from harm. Christ, had compassion on all those who suffered. Cleanse us of the sin that closes our hearts to our brothers and sisters. Amen. And now let us receive together the assurance of his pardon. Jesus has said, I am the light of the world. Those who follow me will not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life.
Children's message. All the children would like to come up. Are you all this home? Not sure this is working. I might have to throw it over there. But I'll put it there. How is everybody this morning? Good. Do you guys, anybody here play any sports? What do you help them to spread the love of God. So he used the pictures. If you look there, some of the things he talked about, you need a belt. If you're a soldier, you need a belt. And that's very helpful to hold up your pants or your, they had kind of a skirt in there. But you don't want to fight without your breeches. But he talked about how Christians, he talked about the belt of truth. And to be a Christian, you have to be honest with people. You have to tell them what is the truth. They talked about the breastplate of righteousness, which is that thing that's right over his chest there that protects the chest from people trying to stab it. And it talked about the breastplate of righteousness, which is we're supposed to live as Christians and do the right thing, to be righteous with God, and to do the right thing to help others. Then he talked about the shield of faith. The shield is there. Right there, you can see that one. Faith is important when you're a Christian. You have to protect yourself, and you have to share your faith with others. The sword of the Spirit. The sword's pretty obvious there. But the sword of the Spirit, God's Spirit, helps us to go in, and sometimes when somebody is not listening to us, or is help is trying to maybe just doesn't want to listen very much, that Spirit of God can get right in there and help them to feel God's presence. Also, we talked about the helmet. Just like a football player, just like a horseback rider, you need a helmet to protect your head. The helmet we talk about is salvation. The salvation of Jesus Christ. That we know that we are going to live, if we believe in Jesus Christ, that we will live forever, and that protects us because we'll be able to protect our heads as we think about those things. And then, let's see, the shoes. Everybody needs shoes. You have to get around, and a Christian needs shoes that they can go out and spread the gospel of peace, is what it calls it. So, things that we need to have to be good Christians are the gospel of peace, Spirit, be righteous, remember our salvation, and have the Holy Spirit within us. So you guys can take that and you can, I tried to print it out in color because it had a really pretty red thing on top of the helmet, and his skirt was red, and it looked pretty impressive too. But you guys can color it if you want to, or take it home with you and color it. So remember all the things that we need to be good Christians. Need to be decked out just like we are when we play our sports. Let's have a word. Let's stand up and have a word of prayer. Let's wrap it in. Lord God, we give you thanks for all the equipment we need to be good Christians, for your love, for your knowledge of the Spirit, for your presence with us, the gospel of peace. Help us to go out and share your love and show your love wherever we go, whether we're playing on a field or riding on the horses or doing anything we do. Help us to be your worthy disciple. In Christ's name we pray.
And now let's pray together the prayer for illumination printed in the bulletin. Almighty God, today as we proclaim your word through proclamation and song, may it indeed put a song in our hearts. In Jesus' name we ask it. Amen. Our first scripture lesson this morning is Ephesians 6, 10 through 20. Finally, be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we are not contending against flesh and blood, but against the principalities, against the powers, against the world rulers of this present darkness, against the spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. Therefore, take the whole armor of God that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all to stand, Stand therefore, having girded your loins with truth, and having put on the breastplate of righteousness, and having shod your feet with the equipment of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, with which you can quench all the flaming darts of the evil one. And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Pray at all times in the Spirit, with all prayer and supplication. To that end, keep alert with all perseverance, making supplication for all the saints, and also for me, that utterance may be given me in opening my mouth boldly to proclaim the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains, that I may declare it boldly as I ought to speak. The word of the Lord.
Thank you to Dickie for a beautiful beautiful solo this morning, one that I can truly identify with, having helped my son move on Friday. I needed all the balms I could to help me this morning get up. But it was, it's a beautiful, always a beautiful piece, and Dickie did a great job. Our gospel lesson this morning comes from the Gospel of John. We're kind of finishing up the sixth chapter, the very wonderful sixth chapter of John, and we turn to the last few verses. We're going to go actually from 56 all the way through 59 this morning. Both of these scripture passages that we're reading this morning, both the one where Paul is speaking after going through tremendous hardship in order to preach the gospel, and this sixth chapter of where Jesus is talking about being the bread of life and how the crowds are gradually melting away. It's pointing out that as much as we like to talk about the love of God and the wonderful comforting strength we gather from him, it is difficult to be a Christian at times. And we're going to be talking about that here in a few minutes. But as we begin in verse 56 of John's sixth chapter, we read these words where Jesus is saying, "Those who eat my flesh and drink my blood abide in me and I in them. Just as the living Father sent me, I live because of the Father. So whoever eats me will live because of me. This is the bread that came down from heaven, not like that which your ancestors ate, and they died, but the one who eats this bread will live forever." He said these things while he was teaching in the synagogue at Capernaum. And when many of his disciples heard it, they said, "This teaching is difficult. Who can accept it?" But Jesus, being aware that his disciples were complaining about it, said to them, "Does this offend you? Then what if you were to see the Son of Man ascending to where he was before? It is the Spirit that gives life, and the flesh is useless. The words that I have spoken to you are spirit and life. But among you there are some who do not believe." For Jesus knew from the first who were the ones who did not believe and who was the one that would betray him. And he said, "For this reason I have told you that no one can come to me unless it is granted by the Father." Because of this, many of his disciples turned back and no longer went about with him. So Jesus asked the 12, "Do you also wish to go away?" Simon Peter answered him, "Lord, to whom can we go? You have the words of eternal life. We have come to believe and know that you are the Holy One of God." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Sometimes being a Christian is hard. Both of the scripture passages we read this morning are challenges to us. The passage from Ephesians asks, "Are you ready to put on the whole armor of God in order to stand firm in our spiritual battle against the powers that be in the world?" And then in our passage from John's gospel, Jesus challenges us to ask ourselves, "Do my words, or does my message offend you? Do you also want to go away?" These are serious questions. But all that could come to my warped mind this week as I was working on these passages was the image of the Knights of the Round Table in the comedic masterpiece Monty Python and the Holy Grail, where the hapless knights are confronted by various threats to their safety, from a killer rabbit to garbage and insult-throwing Frenchmen and many other cases. And In almost every case, they look up and they yell, "Run away." And too often, we are tempted to run away from our faith. As the rest of chapter 6 in John's Gospel points out, Jesus offers us the bread of life that is able to meet any hunger, slake any thirst. Paul points out how God gives us all we will ever need to protect ourselves from the powers of evil. God gives us the spiritual gifts that will enable us to stand firm in the faith. And yet, what do? All too often, we shed the armor and we reject the bread of life, therefore putting into danger life eternal and salvation of our sins. We too often want to run away from God in search of a food or some kind of earthly pleasure that we think more spectacular than plain old bread. God gives us everything we will ever need to live a faithful life, and yet we crave more. We think we need more. We seek lives overflowing with earthly pleasures. And yet God provides spiritual food. We speak protection behind earthly weapons and human-created power and physical strength. God provides the belt of truth and the breastplate of righteousness, the gospel of peace, the shield of faith, the helmet of salvation, and the sword of the Spirit. We seek overly complicated philosophies of life. God gives us simple instructions to pray and commands us to persevere. God gives us nothing we ask for, but everything we need. Is there any wonder so many people fall by the wayside when their faith is challenged and their life beset by trials and tribulations? In the gospel, when faced with difficult lessons of self-sacrificial love, of things like loving your enemies and being generous in the face of persecution, gradually the crowds that are viewing and listening to Jesus grow smaller and smaller. It's understandable that the religious leaders of the day were offended by his teachings. He had openly challenged their religious practices. It was understandable when he started talking about eating flesh and drinking blood and coming down from heaven that maybe the casual crowd would gradually be offended and dwindle away. But here at the end of chapter 6, Jesus is back down to just the original 12, and he challenges them. Are you going to walk away as well? Life would have been easier for them if they did. Our lives would be easier for us if we did. Americans used to value flexibility. Bend, swim with the stream. When in Rome, do as the Romans do. Don't get stuck with the flow, or go with the flow. Whatever, man. Tolerance and anything goes were kind of the normal course of life. And so when you used to read, put on the whole armor of God to withstand the wiles of the devil, it meant sticking up for traditional values and tried and true norms, all to fight the relativity of society. Then all of a sudden, a lot of American society became intolerant, and polarization and partisanship, sticking your head in the sand, became the norm, and we began to not listen to anybody else. There tended to be an attitude that when you read this passage about putting on the whole armor of God, that it was in order to go to war against those of the other party or of some other position that was opposite of yours, to protect yourself from the wiles of the devil. or of anybody who disagreed with what you believe. Paul does not go to either of those extremes. Paul is not talking about putting on the armor of God, or Paul does not tell people to put on the armor of God in order to conform to the world, the one extreme. If Paul were interested in conformity, he would have encouraged Christians in the church to blend with the conventional moralities and earthly wisdoms of the time. So he doesn't go to that extreme. Paul instead counsels people to stand firm, even when the gospel was unpopular. Stand firm on our convictions and not be given in to every whim that pops into our minds. He instructs us to be ready to stand firm, even when the tide of polarity turns against us and the strong winds of criticism blow. We're not to stand up alone and fight the world and the powers of evil alone. We are given the ability to stand firm through our common faith, nurtured in tradition, nurtured in a faith community, something that allows us to grow in our faith. But on the other end of temptations about weak faith, the danger is different. There's a difference between being stubborn and standing firm in the faith. Paul is not asking us to be stubborn, wedded to the opinion or to an opinion rooted in a prejudice or a closed mind. He's asking us to stand firm in something that is not earthly or perishable. He asks us to stand firm in what is transcendent, in what is renewing, in what is peaceful. That means we may have to be humble. We may have to risk being unpopular. We may have to risk suffering ridicule. If not, the difference, or if not, we need to be unpopular. If not worse, as a faithful person in a community. A stubborn person will not listen to an idea that differs from his or her own. A stubborn person rejects alternatives out of hand and refuses, regardless of the situation, to change one's position. Stubbornness is not self or other discerning. It is not informed and it does not grow. It is enshrined in a closed circuit of certainty and becomes fearful and boisterous and one-dimensional. The stubborn heart and mind are impervious to reason and may constitute one way to hide insecurity. The world is full of examples of people who are stubborn. In fact, if we're honest with ourselves, we probably all have fallen in that category of weak faith at some time or another. Instead, we need to stand firm. Standing firm is different. Standing firm means that one is willing to debate and listen and consider alternatives in order to reach a beneficial goal, while at the same time not sacrificing basic principles. Examples of people who stand firm are much more extraordinary. Soren Kierkegaard once said, "Purity of heart is to will one thing." One can will one thing, staying focused and having singleness of purpose without being stubborn about it. Paul is not asking us to get stuck on one strategy or one idea or one position. He has in mind a larger goal, a bigger picture of God's wider mercies. He's not counseling stubbornness and tunnel vision and siege mentality. He is talking about the gospel of peace. Now, someone once said, "I am too blessed to be stressed." Now, I'm not sure that applied to me this weekend moving my son, but Paul's words put on the whole armor of God, and it prepares us for struggle. Sometimes faith is a struggle. Stress and anxiety can come when one is being truly faithful. To be truly faithful often requires us to engage in things that really matter, and so that is going to cause stress. No one in his or her own mind, right mind, will prepare for a struggle without forethought and faith. We want to know what we are up against so that we can prepare appropriately and live faithfully. Standing firm gives the struggle purpose and meaning. In the midst of controversy, we may ask, is the price to be paid worth the struggle? Sometimes in the midst of struggle and fatigue, we may find our strength renewed by our faith. Sometimes churches may find themselves assessing and reassessing their situation. I know that is true with many of the Presbyterian congregations within Danville as they go through some retirements and consolidations. And times of transition are an excellent time to do some of this open-minded reflection. Finding a new vision based on Scripture and faith in Jesus Christ will lead to a new resolve to serve our God. It relies on a hope that comes only in a common faith in Jesus. We stand firm in his conviction. Spiritual struggles require discipline. We must prepare ourselves inwardly, prayerfully, for the outer struggle. The outer struggle, the struggle against the principalities and powers, will test us again and again, will test our inner resolve. God never ceases to offer fresh opportunities to assess our commitment to each other and to him. Struggles are simply a part of the faith, of faith development, when spiritual growth leads to a deepening in mature faith. Struggles also may be seen in the way that the followers of Jesus stay alert to evil and pray and nurture one another in their mutual growth, and how we stay accountable to each other. God gives us what we need to stand firm. God's rich mercy, spiritual resources are found among people, are found in nature. Standing firm allows us to endure the struggles. Faith in Jesus is never easy, and he never promises us it will be. In a local paper once, there was an article where they interviewed the people and they asked them this question. They said, how does your faith get you through difficult times? The answers varied widely. One answer was, well, I have no religious faith whatsoever and never have. This helps me get through difficult times because I don't expect the celestial cavalry to suddenly come in and rescue me. Instead, I depend only on my own wits and experience. Another person said, whenever I need to find a being greater than myself and more valuable to the world than myself, all I need is to look to the trees. And finally, there was a third answer where someone said, Christ has been the great answer to everything in my life for the last 30 years. He is totally real, and he's 100% love. It's easy. Just invite him in. No risk, no downside, I promise. Now, obviously, I do not agree with the first of those two statements, or I wouldn't be up here. But then I got to thinking of the third one. And it is not the best of statements either. For true belief in Jesus Christ is not easy. Jill Duffield wrote recently, no risk, no downside? Really? Somehow this follower missed the offensive, scandalous, take up your cross, lose your life part of following Jesus. Jesus sounds like the latest gadget to being proffered on late night television infomercials. Not the Messiah who came to serve and pour himself out to the point of death on a cross. One might as well look to the trees or rely on one's own wits if the one we follow requires nothing of us but an invitation. So much for God doing the calling and the teaching and the choosing. When we forget the offense and the difficulty of Jesus' teachings, we fail to recognize that there is nowhere else to go for eternal life. We reduce the bread from heaven to some sort of magic beans that grant our wishes. We turn the bread of life into comfort food that confirms the status quo when Jesus gives us his body that we might be salt and light and leaven in the world. There's that key statement in there about abiding with the one who came from Nazareth. And that means inevitably putting us in the company of those we do not choose. That's not comfortable. Eating the bread of life incorporates us into the body of Christ and calls us to be dependent upon and concerned for every member of the kingdom. That is not easy. Hearing the word of the Spirit means going where it wills. That is not easy. Believing that Jesus is the Messiah requires that we follow his teachings, difficult and as offensive as they may be. And if that offends you, it should. Amen. Let us stand and affirm our faith using the Apostles' Creed, which can be found in the worship pew insert. Let us affirm together. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and is seated. The Holy Ghost, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Let's remain standing and sing our next hymn, 326, Spirit of God, descend upon my heart.
Thank you.
Please be seated. As we approach the Lord with our prayers and thoughts, do we have any joys or prayer concerns that folks would like to share today? All right, if not, let us turn our hearts and minds to God in prayer. Merciful God, who in Jesus Christ established the household of faith, we praise you for those in whose midst we are privileged to dwell and worship with. We give thanks for relatives who surround us with love. You created us dependent upon each other for our nurture and growth. You gave us parents and guardians to care for us, siblings and age peers as companions along the way. We give you thanks for our homes and the names we bear. We are heartily thankful as well for partners who share our sorrow and our joy, for the young and the old, who season our lives with wisdom and verve, as Jesus chose a few in whom to confide. So we are grateful for those we can trust. We give thanks for friends who cheer us on. In them we see your spirit of counsel and might. They stand beside us to encourage us when we are doubtful. They go before us to mark a trail we can follow. They stand behind us to push when we are indecisive, and they hold us up when we are weighed down with trouble. For all those we name and those who are unnamed, who surround us with compassion and patience, we give you thanks. Reflecting the splendor of your grace, the richness of your benevolence, and the scope of your love, we join together with those in Christ's household committed to serve you as the family of faith. And one of the things that we have the pleasure to do is to pray for brothers and sisters who have special needs this day. We ask that you would hear us as we pray silently some prayers we wish only you to hear. Hear us as we pray for those we have on our list today. We ask that you would be with Claudine, with Amy, with Nelson, with Charles and Lib, with Matthew, Diane, Martha Jo, Beth, Ellen, Friel, Ella, Jim, and Tom. We give you thanks for your work within Helen, Caden, Mac and Knowlton. Lord, help us to put on the whole armor that you provide for us, that we may go forth together to spread your love, to show your love, to share your love. Hear our prayers, O God, and bind us together as your people, praying the prayer that your Son taught us when he said, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not to temptation, but deliver us from evil. For it is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Will the ushers please come forward for the morning offering? Let us pray. God of goodness and mercy, we bring you our offerings. We laud you with thanksgiving for the blessings you bestow. You fill us with hope. We give you our commitment. You instill in us confidence. We offer our trust. You teach us how to sacrifice. We seek to be faithful. You call us to obey you. We pledge our allegiance. All that we have, we place before you. Use us and mold us to conform to your will. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. And our final hymn this morning is one that's an insert in your bulletin. Stand up for Jesus.